Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. We've got, before we get to the silliness, and we've got plenty of silliness and plenty of seriousness, if that's a word, seriousivity. We've got all of that, but before we get to the silliness, which we're going to start with an avalanche of celebrity news, believe it or not. Celebrity news, I said. But before we get to that stupidity, I want to check in with China, where we reported last week and maybe the week before as well on the lockdown of millions and millions of Chinese citizens due to the coronavirus hysteria, the construct, the projection upon the rest of us by them, them being the leftists, who have written books about and given speeches about taking down freedom-loving people everywhere and primarily taking down Christianity and the civilization that Christianity has built. They've written about it. They've talked about it for the better part of a generation, my entire adult life. Now they're doing it. And it all started in Wuhan, China, with the lockdown of Wuhan. It continues in Xi'an City, a city of millions, where last week, well, over New Year's, which is a big deal in China, Xi'an City was locked down for fear of coronavirus, the latest wave. And there in Xi'an over New Year's, an 8 months pregnant woman suffered a miscarriage over the New Year's holiday. On January 1st, she called an ambulance. 8 months pregnant was the mother. She called an ambulance feeling intense pain in her abdomen. When she arrived at the hospital, she presented her latest COVID-19 test, which was negative, but officials at the hospital noted that the validity of the test had expired by 2 hours. And so they did not allow her into the hospital. Her husband pleaded with the hospital to let her in, but the staff refused, leaving the 8 months pregnant mother bleeding outside in front of the hospital. By the time officials in the hospital were convinced to let her in, she had bled in the parking lot for 4 hours, and she had already miscarried. And so another child has been killed by the communist Chinese government, who has undue influence, in my opinion, over the American government and the American frame of mind. And the entire Western pattern of thought is now dominated by this same Chinese government who left this mother to bleed in the parking lot for 4 hours until she miscarried. That's from the Real Tyranny File. We talk about tyranny here. This is real tyranny that kills children. And there's plenty of that going on here, as a matter of fact. And we'll get to a good bit of that. But let's start, since we're talking about COVID briefly, as we'll move on into the celebrity file. Got a report from the Alaska Bureau. He says, "What kind of fool takes a vaccination for a disease he just had?" ? We'll leave the question hanging out there, but our Alaska Bureau contributor answers the question himself. He says, "Actually, I know who the answer. It's the greatest president of our lifetime, Donald J. A. Trump." The greatest president of our lifetime. I know he's the greatest because I've been told so over and over by all the really smart people at One America News and at Newsmax and at other conservative outlets. That's Donald Trump, who got the vaccine after he already had COVID, smartly enough. But apparently, So while the Alaska Bureau has uncovered perhaps the most foolish president in our lifetime taking a vaccine for a respiratory virus that he had already recovered from, but apparently Novak Djokovic, the tennis player, has not succumbed to such foolishness. He had a cold about a month ago, and we suspect that that's perhaps the basis for the medical exemption that he was granted by the Tennis Association that's been rejected by the hysterical Australian governing officials, leaving Novak Djokovic in a relatively low-end hotel somewhere in Australia waiting to see if he can come in and participate in what will be a fake Australian Open if he's not allowed in. If Novak Djokovic is not allowed to participate in the Australian Open, then the Australian Open is as fake as just about everything else we've witnessed over the past 2 years. It's been astonishing, by the way, to watch the truth about the Omicron wave. Killed in the crib. The truth of Omicron was killed in the crib, and instead, the masses have been led like zombies after a brain by the news media and their own news feed, whatever news feed they get. I have some stories that made it through my news feed, which is where I realize now most people get their news from their social media feed. And so I'll get into a little bit of that. But it's been sad to watch. But let's move on to the avalanche of celebrity news that we have. Starting with the No Life is Wasted file, Donald Trump Jr., not to be confused with Donald Trump, is now engaged to Kimberly Guilfoyle. The two having been engaged now, according to Page Six from the New York Post, they've actually been engaged for nearly a year. They're just coming out with it publicly. The former Fox News contributor, Kimberly Guilfoyle, was spotted with a massive diamond ring on her ring finger on New Year's Eve. And it turns out that Don Trump Jr. popped the question to the aforementioned Kimberly Guilfoyle, the ambiguous one. He popped the question New Year's Eve 2020 was when he popped the question. They've been together for almost 4 years now, according to the Page Six. They've been together. Now they're officially engaged. I don't see a date anywhere, do I? I'm reading through the story. They got engaged New Year's Eve 2020, but in my book, you're not engaged unless you set a date. And so anyway, the story goes on, and there's links to numerous other news reports from various conservative outlets about Don Trump Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle. And no one points out that they've been shacking up like a couple of, well, I mean, there's no socioeconomic group that I want to compare them to because I don't want to insult that socioeconomic group. I can't say they're shacking up like white trash or rednecks or hillbillies or trailer trash. You just can't, you don't want to insult those people. A lot of decent people in those groups. Me, having been raised, I was called white trash as I was being raised. So I assume I come from white trash. And I don't want to insult white trash by associating them with Donald Trump Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle. So we're going to just say that they're shacking up like a couple of cosmopolitan elites, which is the lowest form of social economic strata, or the lowest social economic strata upon which one can find oneself perched, alongside the likes of Kimberly Guilfoyle, who looks like a bad transgender operation, and Don Trump Jr., who looks like, well, we'll just go with a cosmopolitan elite, and we'll leave it at that. They're shacking up, and the gullible evangelical community flocks to them as the next great hope for saving America and our religious liberty is Donald Trump Jr. as he shacks up with Kimberly Guilfoyle. Why did we notice? Because we notice things like that, and we point them out. We move from Guilfoyle and Trump to the justice file, where authorities in New Mexico and New York are trying to get hold of Alec Baldwin's phone. Why? Oh, because he shot that woman. and killed her. New Mexico and New York authorities, according to Breitbart, are working to get the cell phone of actor Alec Baldwin after he shot cinematographer Helena Hutchins there on the movie set there. We all remember, right? Listen to this. A search warrant was issued for Baldwin's phone on December 16th, 2021 by the Santa Fe Sheriff's Department. And I did a little research after reading that because that struck me as odd, and I realized the reason that struck me as odd was because the shooting occurred on October 21st, 2021. Let's see, October 21st, November 21st, that's almost 2 months, more than 6 weeks after the shooting occurs and the body is recovered. The sheriff's department issues a search warrant asking for Alec Baldwin's phone. Huh? What? How many times have you shot someone and it took them 6 weeks to ask you for your phone? Well, I know you haven't shot anyone. But imagine that you had. Can you imagine that the authorities would allow you to retain your cell phone for 6 weeks before they asked for it? I don't think I would. Anyway, I'm assuming there are about 1,000 things on Alec Baldwin's phone that he would kill almost anyone to keep secret. That's my guess. And I'm not just talking about secrets about when he killed the girl on the movie set. That's just the tip of the iceberg on Alec Baldwin's phone that he would want to keep secret. But I've got to ask, I mean, could anything sink this guy's career at this point? Anything? Could any insult or any molestation or any bad, horrible, dark thing that's on Alec Baldwin's phone, could any of those sink his career at this point? Could any kind of corruption put his entertainment career in jeopardy? It's almost as if the elite are joined at the hip with Alec Baldwin's career, and they're all so corrupt that for whatever reason, this guy has to be let off with shooting this girl on this movie set. Or I don't know, maybe the whole calliope comes crashing to the ground if it were to come out what type of person Alec Baldwin actually is. So when everyone gets a chance to look at all the horrible things on his phone. But Alec Baldwin remains free, unindicted, un-anything, unencumbered by the investigation into the girl he shot on the set of that movie almost 3 months ago now. All right, so there you have that. We'll put that story alongside Kimberly Guilfoyle and Donald Trump's alleged engagement there. And we'll go instead to the sad story of Sinead O'Connor. Sinead O'Connor, well, listen to the headline from the Daily Mail. Sinead O'Connor's 17-year-old son has died. Well, he didn't has died. He killed himself. He actually hung himself a couple of days after disappearing from a hospital. And Sinead O'Connor is ranting at the Irish state as now being responsible for the suicide of her 17-year-old son. I had forgotten about Sinead O'Connor, actually, until I read this sad, tragic story. I did not know that Sinead O'Connor has been married 4 times and has 4 children, 1 from each marriage. Her oldest is 34 years old, Jake Reynolds. She had him with someone she married briefly in 1987. Let's see, she has a daughter, 25 years old. She had the daughter with a journalist, John Waters, she was married to for a brief time before they divorced. She has her son, Shane, who just hung himself. She had him with Irish folk musician Donald Lunny. They split up shortly after Shane was born. And Sinead has her youngest, 15-year-old Yeshua Francis Neil Bonadio, who she had born with American businessman Frank Bonadio, and they split up right on time, about a year after the birth of the child, which seems to be a pattern in Sinead's life. Sinead, you may remember, or you may not, Sinead O'Connor soared to fame in the 1990s with the hit song Nothing Compares to You, which she did not write. She did not arrange, and she barely even performed it herself with the assistance of electronic manipulation, which would become the electronicization of all things music and all things that have since passed on. But she was most famous not for that, not for singing a song that was written by someone else and arranged by someone else and then electronically manipulated. She actually gained most of her fame by ripping up a photograph of the Pope on TV back in 1992, after which we all pretty much forgot about her. In 1999, she became Mother Bernadette Marie after being ordained as a something or other by a bishop of the Latin Tridentine Church, whatever that is. Let's see. The following year, after being an ordained minister, she revealed she was a lesbian. Then in 2017, she changed her name to Magna David so she could be free of what she called parental slave names. Parental slave names she wanted to be freed from. A year later, she changed her name again to Shahuda Sadakat after converting to Islam. She admitted she's been addicted to marijuana for 34 years. That comes from the Pot Never Hurt Anybody file. As she seeks to be freed from parental slave names, her 17-year-old son now kills himself, and she's blaming the state of Ireland for his death. Yes. She says, "May God forgive the Irish state, for I never will." And my assumption is there's probably, in this case, plenty of blame to go around.
God is merciful. God is good. Lord have mercy.
I wish you would.
Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney, and, you know, in times past, I would have just left it alone at just making fun of Sinead O'Connor, but I feel horrible about the tragedy of her 17-year-old son being driven to suicide at the age of 17, and you wonder what could possibly have happened in a 17-year-old's life to lead him to believe that hanging himself was the best option moving forward. And the Irish state and Sinead O'Connor and all of us have to stop and look in the mirror and wonder what's going on. And I know what's going on. I know what's going on. And I'll get to it. As the show unfolds, we go to Betty White. Betty White, that's right. Betty White was scheduled to appear, let's see, in a Fathom Events production. Celebrating her 100th birthday, but unfortunately she died. The producers of Betty White, 100 years young, say that despite the death of the star and the awkwardly now named 100 years young show, they're going to proceed as scheduled with the release of the comedy legend's birthday bash, even though she's dead. She died last week, that's right. I've got a quote from Steve and Mike, a joint statement from the Fathom Events website. They say, quote, "We will go forward with our plans to show the film on January 17th, in hopes our film will provide a way for all who loved Betty to celebrate her life and experience what made her such a national treasure. And we'll do it without a trace of irony, not even a nod to the encroachment of the afterlife upon our silliness." Unquote. Well, part of that quote I made up, but so the afterlife inserts itself uncomfortably into the life and production of Betty White, and they're just going to go on as if nothing happened. That's the problem. So right, that this should cause everyone associated with the production to stop and ponder their own mortality. And to examine their own lives But they're just going to go ahead and release it, and Fathom Events and Cinemark and everybody else, they're just going to release it as if we weren't all made very uncomfortable by the fact that Betty White didn't quite make 100, she actually died. But nothing to see here, folks, just move on. Anyway, they go on through a litany of the vulgar and godless adolescent comedies that Betty White participated in over her lifetime, and whatever, that's from the death penalty file, which I know, you wouldn't think that Betty White deserved the death penalty, but she got it, which should make you think. So I'm here, we're here at the Weekly Worldview to make you stop and think about that. Betty White was cruising along having a ball, and suddenly she's dead. Okay, now, speaking of all that, we go to David Lee Roth from the widespread embarrassment file. The Associated Press has announced this. The Associated Press, of all organizations, is reporting that David Lee Roth, veteran Van Halen frontman, has canceled the remaining concerts from his previously announced farewell tour. That's right. He's canceling them, he says, he doesn't say anything. Because the last thing he wants to do is stand up in front of a camera and announce that he's canceling all of his farewell tour shows. His agency says the shows have been canceled, quote, amid coronavirus concerns, unquote. Really? Coronavirus? Was that your main concern, Mr. Roth and management team? Was there really no concern for how strutting around in leather chaps and fresh tattoos and acting like a rock star at the age of 67 might just be horribly embarrassing and negatively affect your legacy and all of that? Maybe they just looked at the videotape from the last show and they were just like, I just can't do this anymore. It's just embarrassing. It's going to embarrass the grandkids. Although I don't think David Lee Roth has any children, at least no legitimate children. Anyway, what were the sponsors of the farewell tour? Geritol and Depends? I don't know. But it's just were those Depends brands chaps that he had on there in the final? What's that? Depends for men too? Yes, I think so. Okay. Well, we'd have to ask Diamond Dave. He might be able to give us some insight on that. Anyway, a guy who got by pretty much on the fact that he had a great head of hair and a really good guitar player. That's David Lee Roth. And although we feel sad for Diamond Dave that he's just not able to pull that off anymore, but we are upset at whoever's responsible for that last layer of tattoos. because that was just embarrassing, okay? I mean, that was not called for. All right, meanwhile, so that's it. That's the avalanche of, is that all of our celebrity news that we have? That's enough, right, with the celebrities. But people look up to celebrities. I mean, people follow celebrities. I think people take celebrity more serious than actual news and actual history. So if you want people to listen to you, tell them what celebrities say. Which is odd. More than God, for sure. Yeah, more than God, they listen to celebrities. Yes, more than Jesus Christ, the most famous man in the history of everything. By the way, they want to listen to, not Sinead O'Connor, not maybe Betty White, I don't know. It's David Lee Roth. So let's move from there on to, let's see, we got the Supreme Court. Big news at the Supreme Court. The leftist news media is hyperventilating over the thought that it's quite possible that the Supreme Court in one fell swoop, one session, could overturn abortion and COVID. So the leftist 501c3s are churning out fundraising letters right now as the terror settles upon the left that the Supreme Court's about to overturn Roe. They're going to overturn the abortion and the COVID with the vaccine mandates. It's funny, Judge Ruth Sotomayor. She thinks 100,000 kids. 100,000 of the kids that she didn't get to with abortion are currently on ventilators from what. Anyway, it's like the leftist girls on the Supreme Court, they get their COVID facts all from the Today Show. And they don't double or check anything. It's just whatever they hear on the Today Show, that's like religion to them. But will the Supreme Court overturn abortion and the COVID shot mandate? Do you think? Yeah, I think neither. That's what I think. The Supreme Court, I'm convinced, is the end product of all of the corruption that's at the heart of America's decline into wickedness and eventual something less than even mediocrity. And the Supreme Court will not repent. The Supreme Court is the establishment. It is the apex. It's the pinnacle of the establishment. It's the lawyers that made it the furthest. And so don't expect anything from them to do anything good. And they'll figure out a way to, well, I'll just move on from the Supreme Court. I was done with celebrity news, for crying out loud. We'll go to the Like a Suicide file, where the National Pulse talks about, well, this is serious. An examination by the New York Times has found that 85% of prenatal blood tests that are done on babies in utero, checking for rare chromosomal disorders, these tests provide false positives to expectant mothers. 85% of the tests are false positives, telling the expectant mother that their baby has a chromosomal disorder. 15 out of every 85 tests came back with accurate information on the genetic potentialities that were being examined. And this, according to the National Pulse, obviously led many mothers to abort perfectly healthy children. Expectant mothers received normal ultrasound. Here's how the studies went. The expectant mothers received a normal ultrasound. But after that, the blood tests that they submitted their children to, without the children's consent, by the way, the blood tests confirmed that their children would be born with serious ailments and mental illnesses. The mothers were then given a choice. They either had to pay for additional testing to confirm the results, give birth to a child who may not live, or choose to kill their unborn child before it was born. And many of them chose the latter, to kill the unborn child. And so the bigger question, above the positivity or the false positivity, the 85%, all of that, I mean, set that aside for a moment. What does it say about us that we want to look and that we want to screen our posterity for the right to be born? What does that say about us that we want to look? What is the intent of looking, by the way? Why would you want to look? Unless the intent was to kill. Is there any other reason? Well, this bears out that there was virtually no other reason. And so whether or not the test was positive or negative, or whether or not you think your child is going to be born with some malady, why are you wanting to look? That says something about you. That says something about us as a society. It says something not very good about us. And by the way, every mother who gives birth to a child who will not live eventually. And so take that into consideration as you plunge forward, selfishly obsessed with your own ease and comfort and convenience, please. And so from there, we go quite appropriately into the decline and fall file, where J.D. Vance, who is a politician, here's a guy I never heard of before who suddenly is everywhere. J.D. Vance is running for the Senate in some nondescript state that doesn't really matter much. And he gave a speech in which he said, quote, "The basic desire to live in safety and security is under assault," unquote. He went on, quote, "I really believe it is by a combination of corporate leadership and political leadership that has no willpower and no desire to push back." He says that Americans are basically, unquote, sorry. He says Americans are being stripped of our right to live in safety and security by corporations and politicians. And so to solve that, he's running for the Senate because, well, whatever. Maybe not the sharpest tool in the shed is Mr. J.D. Vance. He says, what's going on is an alliance between corrupt politicians and bureaucrats and multinational corporations that has made the most powerful nation on earth on the verge of collapse. Yeah. Mr. Vance, I mean, I've commented on the corrupt politicians and the bureaucrats for my entire adult life. I've pointed that out. But this collapse that you're witnessing, Mr. Vance, this denial of our ability to live in safety and security, all of this, none of this, all of it and none of it could have occurred had the people not become all of what you mentioned too, the corruption. You remember the government here, Mr. Vance, is of the people, by the people, for the people. And so Mr. Vance might want to blame political leadership and corporations and bureaucrats, but all of this, Mr. Vance, is by the people, for the people, and of the people. That's why everybody wants a piece of the action. Everybody needs a main attraction. I got what everybody needs. Satisfaction guarantees. Everybody wants a piece of the action. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us. I get back to J.D. Vance really quick. I don't want to finish with him because he goes on, and he says he still has hope for the United States, which is why he's running for Senate. J.D. Vance says, quote, "What's so cool about this country is the people are great. Our leaders are a total disaster. And if we can get even okay people leading, we're going to unleash an incredible century of American greatness," unquote. So, he thinks he has to patronize us with talk like that, tell us how great we are. Why does he think that? Well, because he does. Because he's involved in a popularity contest to install himself into an institution that is actively destroying the country. He just said they were, and that's why he wants to join, and that's why none of this makes much sense at all. Mr. Vance, it's because of democracy. Democracy, of which you are now participating, is one of the greatest factors in the doom of the country. And it causes you to assume that you have to gaslight us in extreme Pollyanna fashion. That's the problem. The fact that you're lying to our face and telling us how great we are when you should be telling us to stop and repent and cut it out. Stop being so wicked and corrupt and selfish. Stop running tests to decide whether or not you want to kill your posterity off. Stop being so selfish. It's not some dark, mystical cabal of bureaucrats that's destroying us. It's us. Mr. Vance, and you would be better for us, Mr. Vance, if you would point that out, as uncomfortable as it might be for us. It's something that we need to face and think about and pray about and get right with God about, or all of the calamity that you just referred to is going to come down upon us and is, in fact, coming down upon us. Speaking of calamity coming down upon us, we have the district attorneys, the various district attorneys that have been installed around the country over the past couple of election cycles by George Soros and his minions and the leftists and the maniacs and the people who have seduced and deceived a generation of people from Sinead O'Connor right on down. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg has announced that he will not seek pretrial detentions for crimes other than homicide and a few other exceptions. That's right. What are the other exceptions? Major economic crimes, racketeering. Basically, if you kill someone or take money from the government, you might end up doing jail time before your trial. Otherwise, no amount of mayhem and destruction of civilization will lead the officials in New York to hold you in jail until your trial. You'll just be released back upon society. And let's see. Mr. District Attorney Alvin says, quote, I have dedicated my career to the inextricably linked goals of safety and fairness, unquote. That's so nowhere does Mr. Alvin Bragg talk about dedicating his career to justice. He doesn't even mention justice. Right? And, you know, worse than that, if he were just simply ignorant of the principle of justice, that would be one thing. But it's not that he's merely ignorant of it, is that he's set upon a path of using the law to destroy justice. Which, well, that's why George Soros signed him up, because he would do that. And so, we're now getting the call that we need to lead a political movement now to remove these district attorneys that Mr. Soros and his minions have installed via the democratic process, by the way, by the people, of the people, for the people. The people voted for Alvin Bragg up there in the state of New York. And will we be able to mount a political movement to dislodge these corrupt district attorneys from the highest perches of justice in the nation by the fall? Will democracy save us? Will our democracy? Well, I think that the nation, if not the world, will be so awash in new bloodshed by the fall that even whatever feckless Republican is put up against the likes of Alvin Bragg will appear to be a savior to the dim-witted, lazy, over-medicated, over-entertained masses. That's my rather blunt take on it. Suffice it to say, I don't have a lot of hope in democracy saving us from what democracy has brought upon us. I think it's going to take something altogether different and not having much to do with anything at all to do with anything to do with that. A case in point, we go to the domestic tranquility file where we have two deputies, Florida sheriff deputies. Deputy Clay Osteen, he was a Marine, and he was recently awarded Deputy of the Year in 2020 after he saved someone's life who was overdosing on drugs. And his wife, Deputy Victoria Pacheco, also received a commendation for saving someone's life who had overdosed on drugs. Married couple, both of them sheriffs, both of them having been commended for saving the lives of people who had overdosed on drugs. And both of them have committed suicide. The deputy, the man, the ex-Marine, committed suicide on January 2nd. And according to the sheriff's department, Victoria, his wife, took her life in the wake of her husband's death, her husband's suicide. So they leave a young son as an orphan. I mean, what do you say about this? He's 24 years old. She's 23 years old. They have a child together. They save people's lives. They're committed to doing what any outside observer would assume is doing good. They're the best of the best. They're the cream of the crop that America has to offer. And they decide that their one-month-old son is to be left an orphan. It's just astonishing. It's astonishing what's happening. But there it is. We have a one-month-old child who's now an orphan. And his mom and dad have both decided suicide was the best option for them and him, apparently. Or maybe they just aren't thinking. What are they thinking about? You know, the state of affairs that leads to a widespread acceptance of suicide as a means to solving whatever problems you have in your life, whatever problem this 23 and 24-year-old husband and wife had, whatever problems they had in their life, they're not problems that haven't been common to every young married couple since the dawn of human history. But for whatever reason, in America, circa 2022, suicide becomes an option. And that speaks to a much greater civilizational crisis that goes beyond anything temporal that we're facing right now. And we're facing a lot of temporal issues that are scary and of concern. The least of which is the latest variant of a cold virus. That's the least of our problems. Although it seems to have somehow managed to synthesize what was a slow motion train wreck into a crash into a wall at 200 miles an hour. Which is it's sad to watch and to comment upon. And so do I even want to do this story now? Maybe I want to move on to the Ivy League. Let's talk about the Ivy League briefly. Because speaking of the cream of the crop, the Ivy League, Yale and Harvard and all of those, they are now officially criminally insane. They have coronated a man as their premier female athlete. I can't remember if he's Yale or Harvard or Dartmouth, I forget, but the male swimmer who's disguising himself as a woman, which is hard to do in a bathing suit, but he's managed to pull it off. He has been officially ordained as the female athlete of the year, of the decade, of the century. Maybe the female athlete of all time in the Ivy League is now a boy who swims against the girls and beats them most of the time. And so that the Ivy League is now officially criminally insane. And then the Marches for Life have begun, the annual procession of humanity. Every year they do this. They have the March for Life, and they've all begun around the country. There'll be various ones. There'll be a big one in Washington. They have one every January. And this past week, Antifa lined up against the March for Life in Chicago. And if you have any doubts in your mind about the coronavirus, the pandemic catastrophe, or the epidemic of suicide, or the epidemic of overdoses, if you have any question in your mind as to what is the real flashpoint that ignites all of these various crises, this is it. This is the flashpoint at the center of America's coming apart, of the global collapse, is the killing of innocent people. The wholesale, industrialized, clean, comfortable murder of innocent people. And tragically, what's happened, what I've observed, is that now we have one side who thinks that they can get by comfortably marching every year or so. Every now and then they march in opposition to the other side. They don't necessarily march for life anymore. They're just marching against the forces who are ready for blood in the streets right now. And so that's what we've devolved to. One group of people thinks they can get by with a march every year and writing a check to a 501c3, and they've done their part in the culture war. The other side wants blood in the street right now, and they're willing to do it, and they're willing to set the things on fire that bring that about. And I'm afraid in the final analysis, as hard as this is for me to accept because of my own participation in whatever you want to call the culture war, I think in the final analysis, it's going to be determined that our side the good guys, our side, was not up to the battle. Welcome back. It's the Weekly Worldview, and where does one go from there when one looks in the mirror and determines that you just weren't up to the task? Well, there's always the future, and there's life, and where there's life, there's hope. And where there's a knowledge of the living God, there's always an opportunity to pull things back from the edge. And so I think we can do it in our own personal lives, in our own circle of influence, and hopefully if enough of us do that, we may have some impact on the greater catastrophe that is befalling civilization at the moment. But my concern is with mine. And your concern must be with yours. And from there, we will go out with the truth in humility. And perhaps we will reach some. So I go now to Zero Hedge at the widespread questions about reality. So, all right. So I got this story and I read the story and then I went and watched a couple of videos and I thought this just cannot be. I mean, I hope this cannot be. And so I researched this as best I can with my limited ability. And as best I can tell, this is true. We've got a quote from Scott Davidson, the CEO of One America Insurance, a life insurance company. He says that his company is seeing the highest death rates in the history of the business, and they've been in the business since the late 1800s. He says they're seeing a 40% increase in the death rate amongst working age people age 18 to 64. And here's what he says, and you can watch the video, it's real. He says, and what we saw, quote, and what we saw in just the third quarter, we're seeing continue into the fourth quarter, is that death rates are up 40% over what they were pre-pandemic. And how bad is that? In insurance terms, he says a 1 in 200 year catastrophe could mean a 10% increase in mortality. Maybe 10%. He's seeing a 40% increase. He says 40% is unheard of. At the same conference, the president of the Indiana Hospital Association said that hospitals across the state are flooded with patients with many different conditions. Now, it's not COVID that's killing people. It's a whole bunch of things. He said the extraordinarily high death rate quoted by Davidson, the insurance guy, matched what hospitals in the state of Indiana are seeing in real time. Hospitalizations are higher than at any point in the past 5 years, according to Lindsay Weaver, Indiana's chief medical officer. So by the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything shall be established. And here we've got three witnesses talking about, at least in the state of Indiana, and of course the insurance, One America, that's nationwide. A lot of people seem to be dying. And I'm sure there are a number of factors involved, of which the latest variation of this cold virus is the least of them. It's all the other catastrophic windfalls of selfishness and wickedness that are being visited upon us. And, well, it doesn't bode well for the future. That's rather, well, it should be headline news everywhere. But for whatever reason, it's been barely noticed by anyone, but we noticed it, and so we're passing it on to you for whatever that's worth, and we'll link to it, and you can check it out like we did. I am ready and willing to say I was misled, and I believe this story that was total crackpottery. That's what I'm hoping. This is crackpottery, and I've been deceived. I'm ready to recant publicly if that turns out not to be true. Okay, now, on to the widespread tyranny file, where we check in with Emmanuel Macron. Manny Macron did an interview with Le Parisien, which is a newspaper in France. And he said that, how do we reduce the minority who is still resisting the vaccine? We will reduce it, sorry for the expression, by pissing them off even more. Unquote. So Manny Macron wants to piss off everyone who doesn't want the vaccine, and he says we're going to continue to piss them off to the end. We will piss them off to the very end. This is the strategy. Unquote, says. He even referred to unvaccinated people as, quote, non-citizens, unquote. So Manny Macron just comes right out and says it. He wants to fight about this. Hey, Manny, do you know what happens when a limp-wristed, loudmouth, know-it-all, rich kid punk? You know what happens to that type of punk when he decides to start pissing off real men? Yeah. The punk gets his teeth kicked in by the real men eventually. Is that what you want, Manny? Eh? Is that what you want? You want to start a fight with all the men who don't want your medicine? Anyway. So that now, but this punk isn't just a punk. He's not just a loudmouth, rich kid, annoying punk who you want to smack in the mouth. This punk has an army and a sense of moral superiority. And so, and he's the leader of a state. I mean, so this, that means war. That's the end of all this, Manny, is war. Civil war. You petulant little tyrant. This isn't just about upsetting people. This is about war. I mean, unless Manny is taken out of the way somehow. And I don't know that democracy is necessarily going to be the vehicle by which Manny and his petulant tyranny is removed. But a guy like this, well, he should not be in charge any longer. That should be apparent and obvious to everyone. Every other state on the planet should be looking at Manny Macron in shocked fashion and determining that this tyrant must be removed for the sake of the future of humanity. But they're all with him. Which is, well, it's disconcerting, at the very least. Speaking of disconcerting, we go now to the slave market, where Apple appears to be replacing their Taiwanese manufacturer Foxconn with a new Chinese supplier. Now, I did not know this. I thought everything Apple made was already made in China. I did not know because, whatever, who has time to pay attention to everything? None of us. So I thought Foxconn was Chinese. Turns out, no, it's Taiwanese. And that, by the way, that's Taiwan is the Republic of China. They're not the communists. And that's where Apple's been manufacturing all their toys, was with Foxconn. But now they've made a big deal. Apple's made a big deal with the communist government in mainland China. They reached a memo of understanding, did Apple's government affairs team. Let's see, they reached a memo of understanding to improve relations with Chinese leaders. Apple executives met with top Chinese communist government officials after the said commies issued a bunch of regulations back in 2016 that made that cost Apple some money in their iTunes division. And so what did Apple do in response to the tyrannical communists? They decided to make a deal with them. And now, just a year after Apple has signed the deal with the Chinese Communist Party, Apple's begun using a Chinese manufacturer to make their AirPods, those awful, disgusting, embarrassing white things that stick out of the ears of everybody. Apple began using this Chinese manufacturer, which is a blow to the Taiwanese firms that had been the basis of Apple's assembly system for years. And now this Chinese communist slave manufacturer could unseat Foxconn as Apple's primary supplier, and Foxconn is quite disturbed by all this. Ladies and gentlemen, the free market, unrestrained by the fear of God, is ultimately evil. The free market is not the solution. God is the solution. Jesus Christ is the answer to all of the problems that we've talked about on this entire show for my entire adult life that I've been talking about. It's not the free market. The free market has to be restrained by the fear of God. And if they don't, if they are not restrained, if they are not so restrained by the fear of God and the love of Jesus Christ in their hearts, if they're not so restrained, they will eventually make merchandise of the bodies and souls of men. Well, women first. And then, well, then actually children first. And then women. And then they'll get to the men. But the free market needs a radical intervention. The free market requires divine intervention at this point to avoid a calamity of biblical proportions. All right. And now, speaking of, well, do I even want to? I've got an article from the Associated Press. Again, from my news feed, I get a daily coronavirus update from Yahoo, which is forced into my inbox whether I want it or not. I get it every day. And so the Associated Press and the various leftist media organizations are beginning to admit the uncomfortable reality that an awful lot of vaccinated people are getting COVID, whatever that means. That means they're testing positive. After hearing they need to test and standing in line at the test center and complaining about not being able to get a test, and then as soon as they get a test, they're positive. And why am I positive? I got the vax. I got the next vax. I got the booster. I'm vaxxed. I'm boosted. I've got COVID. I need 2 weeks off. Anyway, I seriously, on a lighter note, I think that this Omicron variant and the fact that everybody's getting it, and there's just no denying that. Everybody's getting it. I believe that's true. We're all getting it. Why? Because the virus is behaving like most cold viruses. All observed. They come out, they're bad, they mutate, and they eventually become just another cold. And they infect just about everybody, just about all the time. Just about all the time, it turns out, all of us have some of these things floating around in our system. But this is everybody, all the malingerers, this is their last opportunity to get 2 weeks off of work for a positive COVID test. Because after this, it's going to be pretty hard to say that you got to have time off work for COVID, because eventually we're going to all learn that we have to live with COVID. And even the Associated Press is starting to admit the uncomfortable reality that the hysteria is probably not justified, but they can't quite do it in a respectable and honest fashion. They say, why are so many vaccinated people getting COVID-19 lately, huh? Isn't that weird? Well, start with the emergence of the highly contagious Omicron. Oh, Omicron, that's it. And couple that with the holiday travel season, all that gathering. With Omicron and gathering now, people might mistakenly think that COVID-19 vaccines will completely block infection. Now, why would people think that the COVID-19 vaccine will block infection? Because for all of our lives, that's what vaccines did. And that's how it was advertised to us. Right? And also, because to say otherwise until recently got you banned from all social media. Like, up to 5 minutes ago, if you said the vaccines didn't prevent, you were banned, and you were a crazy conspiracy theorist with vaccine disinformation. But the Associated Press goes on that, well, these shots are mainly designed to prevent severe illness. And the vaccines are doing their job, particularly for people who've gotten their booster. Did you get boosted? Get boosted. And then we go on to this part, which is totally made up. This part is totally made up. Listen to what the Associated Press says. Two doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech or Moderna vaccines and one dose of the Johnson & Johnson vaccines still offer strong protection against serious illness from Omicron. While those initial doses aren't very good at blocking Omicron infection, boosters, particularly with the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, rev up the levels of antibodies to help fend off infection. Unquote. which is just totally made up. There's no basis in any kind of fact or science or reality in any of that. To assert that any of these vaccines or boosters do anything against the Omicron, which is a relatively innocuous mutation of whatever coronavirus was 2 years ago, to assert that they do anything has no basis in... All right, it's totally made up. Let's just leave it at that. And the AP goes on. Omicron appears to replicate much more efficiently than previous variants. And if infected people, especially the unvaccinated, pass it on, vaccinated people will get the virus. So it's of course, it's the unvaccinated's fault that all these vaccinated people are. Yes. And then the AP ends their article dutifully with, advice hasn't changed. Wear masks, avoid crowds, get vaccinated and boosted. Even though the shots won't always keep you from catching the virus, they'll make it much more likely you stay alive and out of the hospital. Although there's no basis in fact for any of that. The fact that you catch Omicron means you'll probably stay alive and stay out of the hospital because it's just not that virulent. It has nothing to do with the vaccines or the boosters or unvaccinated, vaccinated, or gathering. Anyway, it's just all totally made up. It's all craziness at this point. Anyway, the story about the 40% increase in deaths, by the way, that I did my best to check it, that concerns me more than anything I heard back in January of 2020 about whatever they were saying was coming with this novel coronavirus. Because that was completely based on speculation by people I didn't trust already. Where this is just a geeky actuarial CEO of an insurance company just stating the facts. And he's concerned about all the money it's costing him. So you can bet that this guy's not shining you on about all of this. This is actually real. And it's quite a bit more concerning than, well, it's almost as concerning as this. The Mayo Clinic is going to fire 700 people. Why? Well, they don't really know. They say that they've failed to comply with the vaccine mandate. This is the Mayo Clinic, for crying out loud. The Mayo Clinic, for my entire lifetime, has been considered the premier research arm. It's the pinnacle of medical research and treatment in the world, is the Mayo Clinic. Well, employees had until last Monday to comply with the vaccine mandate. And why? Well, it's necessary to provide the safest possible environment at Mayo, which treats patients who come from all around the world for complex care. Now, in those cases, when you go to the Mayo Clinic for an actual condition, in those cases, we assume that Mayo doctors still observe the best clinical practices that are standard in medicine. Because in this case, they have completely abandoned them all for politics. And they're going to fire 700 qualified medical professionals at the Mayo Clinic, which may topple it from that pinnacle of medical research and care to which they had ascended. Let's see here. Many large healthcare employers, according to the Minneapolis Star Tribune, have forged ahead. Even though vaccine mandates have been controversial, health employers have forged ahead, choosing to mitigate risks to their patients. Now, there's no basis in fact that they're mitigating any risks by firing these 700 people, except that these 700 people won't be able to take care of people, which that, to me, would increase risk, but that's just mathematics and logic. We're not talking about that. We're talking about COVID. Well, the Mayo Clinic, here's a statement from, because nobody gave this statement from the clinic, because nobody wanted to get up in front of a camera. While Mayo is saddened to lose employees, it's necessary to keep our patients, workforce, visitors, and communities safe. Yeah. It's necessary. Based on science and data, it's clear that vaccination keeps people out of the hospital and saves lives. That's true for everyone. And it's especially true for patients with serious disease. It's that's a scientific statement. Not only is it true, it's especially true. So there's no basis in anything that any doctor at Mayo Clinic would have called a fact before this mass delusion event that has led to what Dr. Malone calls the mass formation psychosis. No doctor at Mayo would have based any of his decisions on any of this, which is why if you got really sick, you wanted to go to Mayo. But forget about it now, because the whole world has been diluted, and we've outlined some of the answers here, and we hope that you'll take some of that to heart, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio and at American Right to Life. And my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studio. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.